plate a potential nugget.
And the first question that comes to mind is, a lot of these are competitors at some level, right? Some of these organizations, they compete intensely in the world of business. So how did Bill go about managing these Chinese walls of confidentiality?
Yeah, good question. And, you know, first and foremost, the competition between Apple and Google, which, you know, led to several lawsuits. So things were pretty tense there for a while. And Bill was, as I mentioned, very close with Steve Jobs and, of course, worked closely with people here at Google. So how did he manage that? And I think, you know, the answer is trust. He, first and foremost, with anybody that he worked with, he established, you know, a really strong, we call it an envelope of trust. And I think that's critical for any coaching relationship. You know, people knew that when they were talking to Bill, that he had integrity, he would keep things in confidence, and he truly had the best wishes, the best interests of the person he was coaching in mind at all times. People knew that Bill had their back. Bill wanted what was best for them. That was his only agenda. And so it was because of that trust that he could continue to work with, you know, competitors like Apple and Google, even through the tensest of times, because everybody knew that they could truly trust him. And you know, I would think that most coaches don't work in such tense environments and such competitive environments, you know, working with two competitors like that. But still, this element of really building really strong trust with someone is a critical first step toward building a good coaching relationship.
Mm-hmm. And based on the interviews you did, you mentioned you've spoken to 80 plus people while writing this book. Are there anecdotes or things that come up that he did to build that trust?
Yeah, we have a few principles in the book about this. I should note that, you know, Bill passed away in April of 2016. And the idea for this book really came up during the memorial service. Eric Schmidt was there, and he was talking with you know, Philip Schindler, who runs business operations here at Google. And, you know, they were talking about how Bill had so many important principles, and there's so much that people could learn from him, and we needed to do something to make sure that these principles were not lost. And so I had worked with Eric and Jonathan on a previous book called How Google Works. And so after the memorial service, the three of us got together and said, well, what could we do to both honor Bill, but also codify his principles? And that's when we came up with the idea for this book. And we did interview over 80 people that, you know, all of the names that I just gave you. And really, this book is not a biography of Bill. It's really to try to delve into what was his approach to coaching, what made him so unique. So to answer your question about building trust, you know, these things are simple things to do, and yet sometimes they're hard to do. You know, for example, just to listen intently. You know, for example, right now as you and I are talking, I've got my phone up here on the desk next to me, and it's face up. And, you know, if someone were to text me or to send me a chat or a Snapchat or something, I'd probably be distracted for a minute. I'd glance over there. So, you know, with Bill, he put the phone away, as I'm doing now. You can't see that, but I'm putting the phone away. And, you know, he'd just be there. You know, the term being present is sort of a common phrase, at least it is here in California. But, you know, Bill really was doing that well before that was a common phrase. He would just really, truly listen. And then he would answer with full candor. You know, a colleague of ours, Kim Scott, recently wrote a book, Radical Candor. And I think Bill sort of practiced that, this idea that, you know, he would really tell you honestly what he felt and what he thought was the right thing, you know, and not hold back. And he could do that because, you know, that he was coming from a position of really caring about your best interests. And, you know, finally, Bill would show up. We had, you know, we talked to so many people who, when they were going through a tough situation, Bill was there, and not just with an email, but, you know, sometimes physically show up, like come over to their house and talk to them and just be there. And that sort of thing is how you build trust with people. You know, when someone shows up at your door when you're sick or something's going on and says, hey, what's going on? You want to take a walk? You want to just talk about things? You know, that really builds trust in someone, and that trust will help you survive any, you know, all sorts of conflicts or, you know, challenges.
And what was inspiring to read Alan was, I understand that he did this all free of cost, right? He'd made the money he wanted. And at some point he said, I wanted to give back. And this was his way of giving back to the society. So that was truly inspiring to read that.
Yeah. You know, not everyone can afford to do that. Bill had been very successful in his business career. Didn't feel like he needed to make any more money. One of the people we interviewed was Dan Rosenzweig, who is the CEO at a company called Chegg here in Silicon Valley. And Dan really credits Bill for saving Chegg and really helping turn that company around. And he said, you know, when Bill showed up, he said, you know, Bill, this is a quote from Bill. I don't take cash. I don't take stock and I don't take shit. I hope I can say that on your podcast. And so, yeah, he just, you know, he didn't take payment. He just wasn't interested in that. He was doing this because he felt that he had something to, he could help, that he was good at coaching and good at helping teams come together. And he believed in these companies. You know, he believed in what Google was doing. He believed in what Apple was doing. He believed in what Intuit was doing. He believed in what Chegg was doing. All these companies he felt, you know, really had a valuable vision and a valuable mission, and he wanted to help. So, you know, again, this is not something that everyone can afford to do, but it's what Bill did. He, you know, this was kind of his retirement hobby, although he worked awfully hard at it.
The one thing that struck me in what Alan says is a point he makes about Bill showing up not just through an email, but really coming over and spending time physically when someone was going through a tough situation. Reflecting on what Alan says in the context of my journey, I would say that when I was a search consultant at Egon Zehnder, I formed some of my deepest relationships when I engaged with individuals when they were going through a tough patch as individual leaders. I noticed that when I spent time with them when they were in transition, the gratitude they had was of a different level when compared to adding value to them when they were doing well. In a way, that was the genesis for me to focus on transitions as a theme of curiosity and value add, as I felt that is when individuals are lonely, problems are complex, and stakes are high. The other element that really struck me in this nugget was about knowing when you've had enough money and doing stuff that you're really passionate about without considering money. Alan says that Bill had made enough money as a business leader and did the coaching work pro bono. It's a great example of a leader having clarity around what mattered to him, knowing how much is enough, reflecting on the past experiences and finding a canvas where he could make a profound influence. We hear people talk about passion, skill set, and opportunity while talking about the sweet spot of where one could operate. If you include purpose as well, then people show up very differently and make such a big difference to the world around them, as in the case of Bill Campbell. While the work he was doing impacted trillions of dollars, he didn't take a penny for the work he did as a coach. It's hard not to observe the irony here. Thank you for listening. For more, you could visit the recently revamped website, playtopotential.com. For bite-sized content by theme, please visit the curated playlist section at the website. If you're deriving value in the content and wish to show your gratitude, I would request you to pay it forward by contributing to Antarang Foundation by visiting the Pay It Forward section on the website playtopotential.com. Your contributions will help thousands of young Indians who come from challenging backgrounds play to their potential. Thank you.